Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Dalid. The Mishnah is quoted, the Tumtum Vandriganus. We pointed out that in amongst those that are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, we exempt the Tumtum and the Androgynous. Tumtum is someone who lacks gender signs. They're covered over, so we can't establish whether he's a male or a female. And the Androgynous is someone that has both gender signs. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source that features a posuk that in which it says Shalosh Tomim Bashana Yeroe Kol Zuchurcha, and we're focusing on the expression Kol Zuchurcha. So as we go on, we're going to see that the words are broken down into their more basic form, which serves as a source for certain halachas, and as the word is expanded, we derive additional halachas. Tanu Rabbanan Zachur. Now this word Zachur is coming from the word Zachurcha, but the basic word is Zachur, meaning a male. Lahotzi es anoshim. This excludes women. Zachurcha, lahotzi tumtum vadroganis. Zachurcha, the additional chaf, also has a certain limitation in intonation and or connotation, which suggests we are excluding additional individuals, a tumtum and androgynous. Kol zechurcha. Now here you have the word kol, which is an inclusive expression. That's larabois es haktanim. This will include the minors. Now the 3 points that are mentioned in this source are now going to be featured in the Gemara, each point expounded upon. On the side you can see the mivneh, the structural note. We have Omar Mar, Situtim Mehabraisa. The Omar Mar is in the diamond, and they are quotes from this brisa, Dorsha Posuk Kol Zechurcha. So now we turn back to the text. The first diamond, Omar Mar, was quoted above, Zachur Lahotzi Es Anoshim. The Gemara asks, Ha Lama Likra, what do you need a specific posuk here to exclude women? Michti, Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Gromahu. The mitzvah of Re'iyah, of appearing thrice annually in the Beis HaMikdash, is a positive command, a mitzvah saseh, that is time-bound. And we have a rule throughout the Talmud that the whole mitzvah saseh, shazman groma, noshim pturos. All mitzvahs that are positive and time-bound in nature, women are exempt. As far as the source for that, there you can see in the first parak of Maseches Kiddushin where the source is brought for that. But we are working with this as a given. That being the case, that there's a general exemption of women from mitzvahs that are positive and time-bound in nature, what do I need a specific exemption here in the case of Re'iyah? Itzrich, I need a specific exemption. Salka daita chamina. Without this, I would have thought neilif ria ria mehakel. Let us, as we saw in our previous shiur, derive the mitzvah of ria from the mitzvah of hakel through a gezera shava involving the word ria. Ma lahalon noshim chayavos. Just like over there by hakel, which even though it's a positive time-bound mitzvah, once every 7 years the Jewish people are to get together to hear the king reading from the Torah. So it's a positive, time-bound mitzvah. Women there in Hakel are obligated. We saw this in our previous shiur. The Pasuk said Hakel is Ha'anoshim, Vahanoshim, Vahataf. So women were included. af kan so to hear by Re'iyo Noshim Chayolas. This is what I would have thought, that women are obligated. Komash Molon. Therefore, you have a specific exemption of Zahur Lahotzi es Anoshim. Omar Mar. Zahurcha Lahotzi Tumtum Vantraginis. Gemara continued with a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we've marked it thusly. Bishlamo androgynous itzterich. I understand very well the need for a specific exemption for an androgynous. The person has two signs of gender, male and female. Salka daitoch amina. Without this exemption, I would have thought hoyol the islay tzad zachru, since he has the manifestation of being a male. L'chayef, that should be enough to obligate him. Komash malon, the bria b'fnei atzmahu. We're told that an androgynous, through this pasuk, is a bria b'fnei atzmo, is considered like a separate creature, a separate entity. It's not just, let's say, a hyped up male, but it's a separate category of individual. And as such, it doesn't come under the obligation of re'iyah, as we see in the word zechurcha. So that we can understand, that we can understand the need for a scriptural exemption for the androgynous. Elo tumtum sveka hu. The tumtum is a doubt. In other words, the tumtum might be a female, might be a woman. Mi itzrich kro limute sveka. Do I need a verse, a scriptural reference to exclude that which is doubtful? Where would you have thought to obligate an individual like that, that's doubtful whether he's obligated to begin with? And it's explained it's explained in the Meforshim that you could see this in the Tosfos Dibur Masu Elo Tumtum, that we can't afford to allow a tumtum that might be a female to come, because if such a person would come and bring sacrifices, those sacrifices would be unwarranted, and that would be tantamount to chulin bazora, bringing that which is not sanctified into the temple courtyard, which is strictly forbidden. So it's obvious that a tumtum is excluded even without the scriptural exemption. So the Gemara answers, why do I need the scriptural exemption? Omar Abaye, kishebeitzov mibachutz. It's true that the male organ is covered. However, beitzov, that's a reference to the testicles. Those are exposed. Those are visible. It's just that the other male organ of reproduction, that's covered over. So as Rashi says, since we have beitzov mibachutz, we say this is a definite male. However, he's got this other characteristic. For him to be exempted, we need a scriptural reference, not something that I would have concluded on my own. Omar Mar, kol zechurcha l'rabos es aktanim. The Gemara asks, how can you say that kol is coming to include and obligate the minors, v'hotnan chutz mecheri shreite v'kotan? Our Mishnah excluded the minor. Omar Abaye, lo kashya. There's no discrepancy, there's no difficulty here. Kan bekoton shigia lechinuch, kan bekoton shelo igia lechinuch. He makes a distinction between a koton, a minor shigia lechinuch, that reached educable age, and the minor who is still too young, not as yet ready for education, for being educated, for absorbing. The Gemara asks, so now, what are we saying? We're saying that kol zechurcha is coming to obligate, from a Torah standpoint, a minor who has reached age of education. Kotan shigia l'chinuch derabonon hi, but a child who has reached that age, that he's able to understand, able to be taught things and absorb, that type of child, though he be obligated, only that's true only on a rabbinic level. I don't need a pasuk to include something that's not obligated whatsoever on a Torah level. The Gemara says, "In hachinami, yes, in fact, you are making a good point." Ukra asmachta bi'alma, and the citation of the pasuk of kol zechurcha to include this kind of minor is only a reference point for that which is strictly rabbinic. V'ela kra lamai asa. Well, that having been said, so what is the role of the pasuk? We say kol zechurcha. What is it coming to include? Answer, l'chida achirim. In fact, it's not coming to include per se, but it's coming to teach us the teaching of the achirim. The achirim is an opinion that's cited in the following source. Achirim omrim, the achirim says, ha'makameitz v'ametzareif nechoishes v'abursi. There are three professions that are referenced here. Makameitz is someone that, as part of his professional work, he deals with dog excrement, dog dung. It's used, Rashi points out, it's used in the tanning of certain types of leather materials. Mitzaref Nechoshes is someone who mines, helps to, let's say, forge copper where at the point that it's mined from the ground. There's a very foul odor that's associated with this as well as the makametz. And the bursi is a tanner, which also involves it's a profession of tanning leather, which is very odoriferous. So these people and anyone like them, anyone who has a foul smell about him and can't possibly walk in amongst a general public because of this offensive odor, Pturin min horiyah, they are exempt from ri'iyah. Mishum shenemar, the pasuk says, kol zechur. It's the pasuk that we're darshaning right now, from which we learn, mishiyachol lalos im kol zechurcha. He who is capable of walking amongst all others, that type of person is obligated. Yatsu elu, to the exclusion of these, she'enon ruyim lalos im kol zechurcha. They're not fit, they're not capable of walking amongst a mass of other individuals. Noshim vavodim she'enon mishuchorim v'chulei. We pointed out that women and unfreed slaves are exempt. Bishlama noshim kida moron. I understand women, as we said earlier, that the word zachur is to the exclusion of women. Elo avodim minolon. What's the basis of excluding slaves? The word is zachurcha, zachur is a male. Male excludes females, that's understandable. But where do you see an exemption of avodim here? Omar ravuna, omar kra. The pasuk says, with regard to mitzvahs re'iyah, it says, el p'nei ha'adoin Hashem. On the side, we noted this is pasuk Yud Zayin and Perek Chav Gimel of Shmos, where the pasuk says, Sholosh Pomin Bashana Yeraeh Kol Zechurcha El Penei HaAdoin Hashem. And from this we learn, Mi She'ein Lo Ela Adoin Echad. Who is obligated in Riyah? Only he who has one master. In other words, a free man has as his sole master the Almighty. Yotzo Zeh, to the exclusion of someone who is a slave, She'esh Lo Adon Acher. A slave has another master, his mortal master. The Gemara asks, "Ha lomali kra? What do I need this pasuk? What do I need a special pasuk to exclude a slave?" Michti, let's look into this. Kol mitzvah she'isha chayev es ba'evil chayev ba. Kol mitzvah she'eno isha chayev es ba, eino evil chayev ba. The Gomar lo mi'isha. All mitzvahs that women are obligated in, so too a slave is duty bound. Those mitzvahs that a woman is exempt from, a slave is exempt from, as we learn from a gezeirah shavah involving the word law. You find the word law in the case of servitude, and you find the word law in the case of women and regular Jewish women, that is. And hence we understand to apply to slaves and bondmaids the rules that we apply to regular Jewish women. And regular Jewish women are exempt from ri'iyah. So with that, I understand the exemption for the realm of slaves. So what do I need the pasuk of El Pnei Ha'adon Hashem for? Amar Ravina, lo nitzurcha elo lami shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. I need this to exclude a half slave as well. Daiko nami, and by careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see that the Mishnah, in fact, is referring to that type of slave. A full-fledged enslaved individual is excluded through the law, lami shegzera shava. The half-slave is excluded from this pasuk of El Pnei Adon Hashem. And, in fact, it's the half-slave that's the subject of our Mishnah, where it says, Dekotani noshim v'avodim she'enon mishuchrorim. My she'enon mishuchrorim. When you speak about slaves that are have not been freed, what does have not been freed mean? Ilemo she'enon mishuchrorim klal, that they haven't been freed at all, that they're fully enslaved. Listening, Avodim Stamoda would have been sufficient for the Mishnah to state Avodim Stam means Avodim alone without adding She'enon Mishuchorim. By adding She'enon Mishuchorim, that's overkill. If he's a slave, of course he's not freed. So El Olav, what does She'enon Mishuchorim add? She'enon Mishuchorim Legamri. They haven't been completely freed. Umayniu, and what is meant by that? Mishechetzio Eved Vechetzio Ben Chorin. Shma Mino. This is conclusive. The expression She'enon Mishuchor means, once again, it's a slave that hasn't been completely freed, even partially freed. We explained this in our previous year. Someone who had been in a full-fledged slave, but owned by partners, by two individuals, one of whom freed his holding of the slave, leaving the slave now only half enslaved. That's our Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, who is excluded by the Mishnah, based on the pasuk El Pnei Hodon Hashem. The Mishnah also listed the following as exempt: Vachiger, Vasuma, Vachil, Vazoken, the lame, the blind, the infirmed, and the elderly. Tonu Rabbonan, Rigolim. The pasuk says Shalosh Rigolim Tochog Li Bashana. That's in Shmos Perich of Gimel Pasuk Yudalin. Now, the choice of the word rigolim tells me prat lebale kaven, to the exclusion of people that wore a prosthetic leg, prosthetic foot. We should point out that Tosfos on Daf Gimel Omid Bey, Daf Gimel Omid Aleph, mentions that the bale kaven are really excluded by the word pa'omim, shalosh pa'omim bashana, the word pa'omim. And this is a point that we have seen this before, that pa'omim comes to exclude a bali kaven. This we saw on the Gimel Amud Aleph under one of Rabbi Tanchum's drushes. If you have that available, you can send to the second triangle, a little more than halfway down the page. So the citation here of Regolim coming to exclude the Balei Kavim, Tosfos there on Daf Gimel points out this is an asmacht of the Alma. Dovar Acher, and we should also, of course, give the due credit to Rashi, who on Dovar Acher he says that the idea of excluding the Balei Kavim from Regolim really isn't so, because Balei Kavim are excluded from the word Pa'omim. Hence, what does Regolim come to do? And that's what the Braisa goes on to say now. Regolim prat lechiger, lechoyle, lesumo, lezokein, lesheinu yochol alos baraglov. Regolim means feet. It also means these the three holidays, but the holidays are referred to by the term Regolim feet. So this excludes people who have feet-related difficulties: the lame, the infirmed, the blind, and the elderly, as well as someone who cannot walk on his feet. So this expression, v'she'enu yochol lalos baraglav lasuim, what is that coming to include? It would appear that the individuals mentioned already are people that are incapable of walking. A person is blind, so he's incapable of walking in a secure fashion. Someone who is bedridden, he's likewise incapable of walking, as well as someone who is quite elderly. So what does this expression come to include? Omar Rava Lasuye, it comes to include, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mefanki. We take a look at Rashi, Mefanki, maybe it sounds to some of you like the word Mefunik. Rashi Mefanki, She'ein Hoichim Below Mino, people that will refuse to walk, that do not walk without shoes. And someone who is like that, he's completely abhorred or repelled by the thought of walking without shoes. The problem is, Rashi goes on, the ain other michnas larabayas b'minolo. Person cannot ascend the Temple Mount with shoes. Dichtiv ni bikesh zos miyadchem ramos chatzeroi. Based on that pasuk, we see this idea, and therefore someone who is incapable of walking without shoes is excluded, is exempted from the mitzvah of riyah by through this term, in other words, the reference to Mishaino Yocholalos Baraglov, someone who cannot walk with his we'll say bare feet, with unaided by shoes, so he is included in the exemption featured by the word regolim. The Gemara continues, Dichtiv, citing the pasuk that we saw in Rashi, Mi kisa vo'u le'ro'os ponoi, when you come to appear to me, Mi bikesh zos mi'etchem ramos chatzeroi, who asked of you to come and to trample in my courtyard. Now, the idea of trampling in the courtyard, that would be one who is wearing shoes. But before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Orel v'tome p'turin min hori'ya. An uncircumcised individual and someone who is defiled are exempt from ri'ya. Tana, he'orel v'tome p'turin min hori'ya. Bishlama tome, I understand very well the exemption of the tome, d'chtiv, uvosa shama v'vesem shama. That's the pasuk that refers to coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Kol sheyeshno b'biyo, yeshno b'havo. Anyone who can come to enter the Beis HaMikdash, which is someone has to be pure for that purpose. So he is obligated, havo. Havo means bringing the sacrifices, the holiday sacrifices. The kol she'eno b'biyo, someone who is not capable of entering the Beis HaMikdash. So eno b'havo, he is not obligated, he doesn't bring sacrifices. And not only that, but Rashi says he doesn't send it through an agent either. So that we understand the exemption of the Tomei, since the Tomei can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, so and that's because of well-known halachas that someone who is defiled is prohibited in entering the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi quotes the pasuk that says "Es Mishkan Hashem Timei V'Nichrasa," so he's not obligated to have his sacrifices brought either. So that's understandable. Ela Orel Minolan. Where do you see the exemption of someone who is uncircumcised? And Rashi adds, we're referring to a person who wasn't a deliberate avoider of circumcision, but rather it's a person whose brothers. There's precedent in this family for after being circumcised, his brothers died. So where do we see him being exempted from Re'iyah, from the mitzvah of appearing thrice annually in the Beis HaMikdash? Ha'amoni, Rebbe Akiva Hi. The Mishnah, or this Tanaic source that we read on the second line from the top, where Orel was Potemaria. This is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. The Marbi Le La Orel Ketomi, who includes the Orel as being like someone defiled. In other words, the standards that we apply to defilement, we will apply to the Orel. The Sanya, as we see in the following source, Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Ish goes on to say, Vuhutsarua Ozav. The Posuk there makes reference to people that are defiled. And there's a double expression, ish, that's l'rabois es orel. This comes to include the orel as being someone like he was defiled. Tonu rabbonon. Tomei poter min ria. Dichtiv, the tomei, the defiled individual, is exempt from ria, as the pasuk says, uvosa shama veveisem shama. And we learn from this, as we said earlier, Kol sheyeshno b'biyo yeshno b'avo, he who is able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, he is obligated in Havon, bringing the holiday sacrifices. V'chol she'eino b'biyo, eino b'havo. Someone who can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, and that is true in the case of someone who is defiled, is not obligated to bring sacrifices. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy, Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Yudah, Sumo b'achas me'enov potem min riyah. Someone who is blind in one eye is exempt from ri'iyah. Shenemar yireh yeroeh. The word, and we elaborated this in a previous shiur, the word appears shalosh poim b'shana yeroeh kol zechur cha. But the simple appearance of the word would have been vocalized differently. It would have been vocalized as yireh. Yireh means to see. Yeroeh means to be seen. And we darshan from the kri and the ksiv. The kri, the way we read the word is, well, it's yei ra'eh. The way it's written, the way it appears by way of letters, one would have read it. If he didn't have a tradition, he would have read it as yir'eh. So we take into account these two possibilities, the way we actually vocalize it and the way we would have vocalized it had we not had a tradition. We learn from these two approaches to the word yira'eh, kederech shebo lirois kach bo leira'os. The way that the Almighty comes to see His people, the Almighty is complete, without any blemish, so too the one who's coming to be seen, namely the Jew who comes to be seen, to appear in the Beis HaMikdash, ma bo lirois b'shtei, and just like the Almighty comes and He sees with completeness, with two eyes, kiviyochol, in a figurative sense. Af leira'o, so too, when you come to be seen, b'shteinov, you must have sight in both eyes. So that, according to Rabbi Yochanan da'avoi, someone who is blind in one eye is therefore exempt, because he doesn't resemble the Shechina. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, and also indicate that this marking, the diamond that we'll see, will continue till the end of Hey Omid Aleph. The diamond highlights Rabbonim, Kimoti Lahai Kra. Rabbonim, the different names that will appear. You'll see initially there are two Rav Huna citations, followed by two Rabbi Elazar citations, followed by two Rabbi Ami citations, and then he's followed by Rav Asi, singular citation, and then Rav Yosefin. This continues on to Hey Omid Aleph as well. These are citations of Rabbonim when they Himoti Lahai Kra Bochi. When they reached a certain verse, it led to them to cry, to experience a feeling of despondency. Psukim Shoinim Shigomu Lahem Livkos. Different psukim, and we'll go through each one as we go on in the Gemara. Another marking that appears is a trapezoid or volcano shape around the expression Eved Sherabo, etc. This is a recurring theme that we'll see in some of these drushes, so that where you see the trapezoid, and you'll notice here on this omid, and it appears again on Daf Hey Omid Aleph, the upper quarter of the page, you'll notice another one. These are analogies to a slave whose master, etc. We have to see the slave-master relationship, but bear in mind that the slave-master relationship is a reference to the Jewish people, the slave, and the Almighty, the master. We continue now in the Gemara. Rav Huna kimoti lahai kra yireh yeroeh. When he got to this pasuk with the kri and the ksiv aspect, bochi, it led to his crying. Omar, and he explained what did this what thoughts did this arouse in him? Eved sheraboy mitzape lo liroso. Just imagine a slave whose master is so desirous of seeing him. In the past, the Almighty was so desirous of seeing us Kiviyochol coming to the Beis Hamikdash three times a year. It was a time of great joy, a bonding between the masses and the Creator. Yisrachik mimenu, should it now be that he has distanced himself? Dichtiv, as the Pasuk now reflects this distancing. You know, this is a pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. We saw this quoted on the top line. It says, "Ki savo liros ponoi, mi bikesh zos miedchem ramos chitzerai." When you come to see me, who asked you to come and trample my courtyard? As you can see, how distant we've become from what originally was, where the Almighty was so intense, so anticipatory of seeing us do Aliyas HaRegel, appear thrice annually in the Beis HaMikdash, and now we've reached the point where he has become, as Rashi says, Nefach lo lesone. He's turned into a hater who has commanded us basically, don't come anymore. This, of course, is a result of so many years of the Kodesh Baruch Hu seeing the Jewish people distancing themselves more and more from Torah mitzvahs, and the Almighty is not interested in simple ritual behavior, but it has to be backed up by internal true belief and true practice, and not simple motions that are of a heartless, careless nature. Rav Huna, ki moti lahai kro bochi. Rav Huna, when he approached this pasuk, he cried, "Vezavachta shlomim v'yachalta sham." The pasuk describes our slaughtering of sacrifices and eating in Yerushalayim. Evet sheraboy mitzape lechol al shulchano. The slaughtering of sacrifices and eating in Yerushalayim is analogous to a slave whose master is so fond of having him eat at his table, eat together with his slave. Yisrachik mimenu, how sad it is that we've reached a situation where he now wants to stay far away. Dichtiv lomo li roiv zivchechem yomar Hashem. And again, a pasuk from the first parak of Yeshaya, where the Almighty declares, what do I need all of your sacrifices for? Rabbi Lozer ki moti lahai kro bochi. When Rabbi Lozer would reach the following pasuk, it would arouse this emotion of despondency, of crying, v'lo yochlu echov lanois oisai ki nivhalu miponov. Now this pasuk is a reference to the story involving Yosef and the meeting that took place between himself and his brothers, and his revealing of himself to them. They had not been aware that the person that they had thought was the viceroy of Egypt was in fact their brother, whom they had sold into slavery so many years earlier. So when he revealed himself, the pasuk says that the brothers, they were left speechless. They couldn't respond to him because they were so shocked. Nivhalu miponav, they were shocked in his presence. Now, what aroused this feeling of exasperation on the part of Rabbi Lozer by reading this pasuk? Uma toichocha shel bosav v'dam kach. Mind you, the toichocha of a person. Toichocha, Rashi says, shemochiach pisha b'fonav, where the sins of an individual are revealed to his face. In this case, Joseph was revealing to his brothers their absolute sin toward him, the way they had dealt with him, and all that followed forth from that story. And it was revealed to their faces that here he is, Joseph, alive and well. And this caused them, the toichocha of a human being, caused the others to be so shocked. Toichocha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama. Can one possibly imagine the feeling one will experience when the Kodesh Baruch Hu presents our sins that we committed to our faces, how shocked will we then be? Rabbi Lozer, kimoti lahai kro bochi. Vayomer Shmuel el Shol, lama yugaztani lahalois oisi. This pasuk comes from the story involving Shol HaMelech, King Saul, when he had been in very dire straits. He had approached, I'll say, hired the services of a woman that would raise Shmuel from the dead, so to speak. And in response, Shmuel appears in that particular story, and he says to Shaul, "Why have you troubled to arouse me from my rest, from my permanent rest?" And the Gemara explains, "Uma Shmuel hatzadik hoyo misyore min hadin." When the dead are aroused, I should point out, of course, with a great deal of let's say disclaimer to plunging to the depths of that particular story. When one does study it with the commentaries, there's a lot more than that which we're saying right now. But on a superficial level, the dead who are aroused or sought out by the living, that creates a situation where he who has died receives the feeling that he's being summoned to prosecution in the heavenly court. And that's what troubled Shmuel here. What have you done? You aroused me and caused me tremendous fright that I'm being summoned to prosecution in the heavenly court. Now, who is fear-struck over here? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the great prophet, Shmuel Hanavi, a completely righteous individual. Mind you, a completely righteous individual is frightened by prosecution in the heavenly court. Where does that leave us? Anu! Alachas kama v'kama. Us, says Rebbe Lozer, all the more so. So you can understand very well why Rebbe Lozer, when reading this pasuk, seeing Shmuel fear-struck, lama hir gaztani la'osasi, where does that leave us? Shmuel mahi, regarding Shmuel, where do we see that he was fear-struck? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Vatomer Yishol Shol, Elikim Ro'isi Oilim. Well, the woman who was hired for this purpose of summoning the spirit of Shmuel for King Shaul, the woman says to Shaul, "I see them," in the plural, "I see them rising." Oilim tre mashmat. The word oilim means them. They were arising. That sounds implies there were two, when only Shmuel was being summoned. So the two are Chad Shmuel v'idoch. One was Shmuel, the other one, the also Shmuel, the Asi L'Moshe Ba'adei. Shmuel went to summon Moshe Rabbeinu to accompany him. Accompany him where? Accompany him to what we mentioned before, that he thought he was being summoned to Din, to prosecution. Amar Lei, Shmuel, the spirit of Shmuel, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dilma Chas V'Sholem L'Dina Mesbeina, I might now be summoned to court. Kum Bahadoi, come with me. I want you to be a witness on my behalf. The Leka Milso de Kasvis Bahiraisa, there is nothing that you had written in your Torah, the Lokiamtia, that I did not fulfill. In other words, Shmuel understood that he's going to be, he thought mistakenly, but he thought that he was being summoned to judgment, and judgment involves sins that one committed. So Shmuel is seeking the assistance of Moshe Rabbeinu, who would be able to testify that Shmuel had observed the entire Torah. And of course, as we said before, here you have someone that knows he observed the entire Torah, and yet was scared, was fear-struck about being summoned to the heavenly court, where does that leave each one of us? Rabbi Ami, Kimoti Lahai Kra Bochi. Rabbi Ami, when he reached the following pasuk, he cried, Yitain Bofor Piu, Ulai Yesh Tikva. The pasuk you can see is from Eicha, the Book of Lamentations. And the pasuk describes, let them eat dirt. In other words, an expression of suffer. Let them suffer, be subjected to Yisurin. Ulai Yesh Tikva, maybe there will be hope. Now, with our markings, we've highlighted in this section of Gemara, you can see on the side under the Mivneh, the word Ulai. Ulai means maybe. And the double underline highlights the expression Kulei Hai Ulai, and which, as the Gemara says here, after Rabbi Ami would read this pasuk, he would say, Omar Kulei Hai Ulai. Rashi says, Kulei Hai Ulai, Kol Hayisurim Halolo, all of these trials and tribulations, Yikabel, a person will absorb, the Odenu Besofek Im Tielo Tikva, and even after all of that, there's still a doubt as to whether he has any hope. In other words, you would have thought that a person who is subjected to so much suffering that would tend to purge him of any iniquities, and nevertheless, what Rabbi Ami understood from this is that even after going through all of that, it's only a possibility, it's a doubt as to whether that will completely will purge him, enable him to have hope. Rabbi Ami Kimoti Lahai Kra Bochin. You'll see the same structure again in this pasuk. The pasuk says, Bakshu Tzedek, Bakshu Anova, seek out righteousness, seek out humility. Ulai Tisosru B'yoyim Af Hashem, maybe you will be protected and hidden on the day of Hashem's wrath. Omar, and he says, Kulei Hai V'ulai, with all of that, with righteousness, with humility, such extraordinary traits, and yet it's only doubtful whether that will serve a person in good stead on the day of Hashem's wrath. Rabbi Yasi Kimoti Lahai Kra Bochi. Again, you see the same structure here. The pasuk says, Sinu Rav Evu Toiv, hate evil, love good, Vatsigu Vashar Mishpat, and stand in the gates of justice. Ulai Yechanan Hashem Elokei Tzevokos. With all of that, with someone who disdains evil, who embraces the good, and who was a practitioner of justice, and still, maybe Hashem will show him grace. Kulei Hai V'ulai. Is that with all of that and still only maybe? Rav Yosef Kimoti Lahai Kra Bochi. The following pasuk aroused in Rav Yosef a sense of despondency. V'yesh nisper b'loy mishpat. The pasuk translated would mean that there are those that can be collected, can die without judgment. In other words, that a person could die without any apparent reason, not even reaching the end of his days. Umi iko de ozil belo zmane. Could it be that someone goes before their time? And on the side, we've noted that this is our topic heading. Yesh nispe belo mishpat misas odem lifnei zmano. The topic of a person dying before his ordained time. So is that possible? And the pasuk says he goes even without being judged as worthy of dying or being deserving of death. Is that possible? So the Gemara answers, and you'll note also that we have a long Maisa marking as an incident that takes us down a good way down Daf Hei Omid Aleph. So now what's the incident? Ki ha d'Raveve Barvaye havishchiach gabe malach hamoves. Raveve Barvaye, he had been accompanied frequently by the angel of death. One has to think about this. This idea in and of itself, you were talking about an Amora, Rav Bevei Bar Abaye, a figure that appears not infrequently in the Shas, one of the Amorayim, and he kept company, so to speak, with the awesome angel of death. Just remarkable when one thinks about this idea of a human being keeping company with this very great spiritual force. There are others throughout the Talmud that we see also having encounters with the Malach HaMoves. The reason that this is worth pausing just to ponder upon this idea is to give us a glimmer, a sense, a hint of the greatness of our sages. And in all due respect, we're not even dealing with the greatest of the sages, dealing with people from the Amoraic period, which are viewed as lesser individuals than the people of the Tanaic period and the earlier periods. And yet their greatness is something that is for us extremely difficult to even begin to comprehend. All of that has as a practical ramification the importance, the significance, the greatness of every point that you see discussed in the Talmud by these individuals. You were dealing with people that had spiritual powers way beyond anything we can understand. Hence, when they speak, it's deserving of our undivided attention and appreciate how they're speaking directly to us in the deepest and most profound form. One should never ever think for even a split second that which appears in the Talmud is something that they couldn't possibly relate to us. After all, we are talking about people who have these extraordinary characteristics, and that having been said, they certainly were able to relate not only to their own generation, but for all generations to come. So we have Rav Bevei, who was accompanied by the Malach HaMoves, and the Malach HaMoves tells Rav Bevei this particular story, and it's a story that had taken place many years before, and we're going to try to glance at a very brief Tosfos in a moment that points this out. So the Amar Le L'Shluchei, the Malach HaMoves, had told his agent, his emissary, Zeal Icy Lee, I want you to go and bring for me, which means basically in simple terms, I want you to go take the breath of life away, kill so and so. Icy Lee, Miriam Megadlo Seir Nishaya. Miriam, or Mary if you prefer, the Megadlo Seir is a woman who is a hairdresser. Literally, she braids the hair of women. So the agent of the Malach HaMoves was instructed by the angel of death, go and get her for me. Go take her life away. Also, I see lay Miriam Megadla Dardiki. So the agent went and got the wrong woman. He got this woman, Miriam, the kindergarten teacher. Megadla Dardiki, Megadla, to raise Dardiki, or children. So we could say he brought the wrong Miriam, the wrong Mary. Omar Lay, the Malach HaMoves says to his emissary, I know Miriam Megadlo Seir Nashio Amriloch. I told you to bring me Miriam the hairdresser, not the kindergarten teacher. Omar Lay, so the emissary says, Ihochi Ahashro, should I bring her back? Should I restore her to life? Omar Lay, so the Malach HaMoves says, Hoyul V'Aisisu, V'Aisisa, since you brought her, the kindergarten teacher, Leheve Leminyoner, let her count toward the quota. We should mention a disclaimer here as well, as, like we did earlier. We're dealing with some very esoteric topics. These are the true meaning of these points are beyond the scope of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir. So we will basically translate the words, leaving the rest for some later occasion. The Tosfos points out something that should be of interest to many of us. Havishchir Gabei Machmos, the last Tosfos on the page, the Mesaper Mashiro Lo Kvar, the Malchamoves is telling Rav Bevai something that had happened many years earlier. The High Uvda, the Miriam Megadla Nashia, the story involving Mary the hairdresser, Bebayis Sheni Hoya. This was at the time of the Second Temple, the Hoysaimo Shelploni. She was the mother, the famous Mary, the mother of Ploni. Here, Tosfos doesn't want to make reference by name to the founder of Christianity, but all know who we are referring to. So this story is basically the Malachamoves seeking out Mary, Yoshki's, Yeshu's mother. And now Yeshu, Yoshki, the founder of Christianity, he lived at the time period of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was still around at that time. Rav Bevai, being a member of the Amoraic period, lived hundreds of years later. So we're dealing with a story that was told to Rav Bevai by the Malachamoves concerning the incident that happened so many years earlier. So we continue in the Gemara after the Malachamoves tells his agent, listen, once you brought the kindergarten teacher, just leave her here, and since you brought her, she count toward the quota, the number. The Gemara asks, Ela, Echi Yachlis La, so how is it that you were able to take someone whose time hadn't come? So Malchamovitz explains, Have a Nikita Misara Biyada. She was holding a poker, a fire poker. Vahave Kosh Shagra. She was, this kindergarten teacher was stoking a fire. She was heating up a fire. We continue at the top of Daf Hei Omer Aleph. Umecharya Tanura. Rashi explains this has to do with sweeping the oven. Shaklisa, she took the poker, ba'anchisa agaba de kar, and she mistakenly placed it on the top of her foot, and it was very hot. And kotcha v'isra masli, it burnt her foot, and her mazel went bad. That bode ill tidings for her, negative situation. The icy sun, with that setting in of Isra Mazla, he was able to get her. Amar le Rabbevai Barabaye, Islechu Rishusu Lemevad Hochi. So Rabbevai asked the Malchamoves, do you have permission to do thusly? Amar le, so the Malchamoves says, Veloksiv, does it not say, V'yesh nisper below Mishpat, there are those that die without being judged? Amalei, so Rav Bevai says back, v'hoksi, but it does it not say dor hoylech v'dor ba, a generation goes and another generation comes. This implies that a generation is a time period that must be completed before another generation comes, so that there's a sense in this pasuk we are to understand that people are to live out their allotted time, not die prematurely, as is featured here. Omar, so the Malachamoves explains, Darino lehu ano admolu lehu ledora. Darino means I carry them around, I carry the souls of these individuals around, and I don't give them over to their final destination. and rather I carry them around until the end of the original allotted time comes. That's called the door. V'hodar mashlimno le leduma. And then, when that time has come, I then give over that soul to Duma. Duma is the name of a spiritual force, an angel, that keeps charge over the souls of the departed. Amar le, sof sof shaneha mai avdis. What about all those years that the person was supposed to live out? What do you do with that allotment? Omar, so the Malachim Avos answers, Iikot Tzubur Abonon de Mavir B'mile. If there's a Torah scholar that has this nature about him, that has this characteristic of his being, of his overcoming his natural tendencies. In other words, a person who is naturally a wrathful individual or naturally miserly individual, primarily in the realm of wrath, and he is mavir b'mile, he overcomes it, even in situations where he has good reason to be wrathful, but nevertheless says, no, I'm not going to express my wrath, I'm not going to be wrathful, I'm going to be forgiving. That's mavir b'mile. So a person who has that characteristic, who has developed himself in that way, mosifna luhu lei, v'havya chilufei. I add those years to such an individual, and they then appear instead of that original person that didn't make it till their end. Rabbi Yochanan kimoti lahaykro bochi. And Rabbi Yochanan, when he reached the following pasuk, he cried. The pasuk says, "Vatasiteni voi levaloi chinam." This is a pasuk in Sefer Iyov, the book of Job, and to appreciate this quite a bit more, one would be advised to learn the first perek of Maseches Bava Basra, where the Gemara describes the Satan, that angel, the prosecuting angel, as taunting, if you will, or prodding the Almighty to subject Eov to tests, with the claim that Eov is going to fail. And Eov, as the Gemara there says, he didn't appear in an outward fashion, at least to in fact fail those tests. So the pasuk reflects the Almighty saying that he, the Satan, prodded me, enticed me to afflict him for no reason. But Rabbi Yochanan saw in this pasuk the following: Eved Sherabo Masitin Lo Venises Takono Yeshlo, a slave whose master can be incited, can be enticed to deal harshly and actually yields to those proddings, does that slave have any hope? Once again, we have to emphasize that these ideas are extremely—they're very deep philosophical ideas, some mystical elements to them, and they need to be researched much further, much more than we are doing in the context of the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim. But we feel it obligatory to just inform each one of you who are listening that one should not leave these Gemaras on the simple level that we're presenting them, out of the due respect and awe that we have to show to the Almighty. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.